American airstrikes continue in Iraq despite threats from Islamic militants to kill another American hostage. And there's word that four more foreign hostages have been taken. This week, the Islamic State brutally executed American journalist James Foley, who was captured in Syria in 2012. And in a video released Tuesday, the man who killed Foley said the execution was in retaliation for those U.S. airstrikes. The Pentagon has also confirmed that it failed in a recent mission to rescue Foley and other Americans being held in Syria. White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes was on NPR's Morning Edition today, and he was asked whether the U.S. would consider airstrikes against the Islamic State within Syria.
We don't rule anything out when it comes to the protection of Americans and the disruption of terrorist plotting against the United States. So we would not restrict ourselves by geographic boundaries when it comes to the core mission of U.S. foreign policy, which is the protection of our people.
Bruce Hoffman is a terrorism expert. He's director of the Center for Security Studies at Georgetown University. He joins us. And Professor Hoffman, I mean, we know that James Foley was captured in Syria, but do we know exactly where he was killed?
The intelligence community, in studying it very intently, may be able to develop clues as to what the location may have been. I mean, just looking at it superficially myself, I think they deliberately framed it as a desert, as an open space that could literally be anywhere in the Levant or in Mesopotamia. And that's exactly their idea, is to keep the authorities guessing, to avoid any efforts to pinpoint their location, precisely to prevent the type of hostage rescue operation that was mounted by United States Special Operations Forces, and unfortunately didn't succeed because of not having that kind of specific intelligence.
Right. And so that's exactly why I'm asking the question, because as we heard Ben Rhodes say a little bit earlier, you know, that the White House doesn't rule anything out when it comes to the protection of Americans and the disruption of terrorist plotting. But if it's so very, very difficult to determine where these groups are and where the hostages are, what options does that leave the United States in terms of, you know, there are other hostages still out there?
Well, this was one of the reasons that, among others, we had large ground presences in both Iraq and Afghanistan. It was for the enhanced intelligence and targeting ability and knowledge of our adversaries that those forces accorded us. And it's a very difficult balance. Obviously, we don't want to recommit large numbers of U.S. ground troops to these regions, particularly once again to Iraq. But nonetheless, the information that they're able to obtain on the ground is often essential in pinpointing the location of terrorist leaders and terrorist hostages. In essence, it's much more difficult when you don't have that kind of presence, when you're just relying, for instance, on signals or aerial intelligence, and you know that your adversaries are taking great cautions not to reveal any kind of signature that might lead to their location.
Mm. Now, what do you think the execution of James Foley says about the Islamic State's strategy going forward? Does it indicate anything to us?
I think that they were attempting to send a powerful message to the United States that despite our limited intervention, but nonetheless an intervention that's been highly effective in at least pushing them back from the Mosul Dam and at least relieving the pressure on the Kurdish part of Iraq and indeed on Baghdad, that they're unbowed, that even confronted with the military might of the world's remaining superpower, they are not intimidated, they are not going to give in, and that they believe they have a way of inflicting pain on us, admittedly asymmetrical because they don't have their own air forces and armies, but nonetheless, they believe with American hostages, they have a means that they can put the knife in to the United States and also through these videos very dramatically and painfully twist it.
Who is that message really intended for? Because as you mentioned, it's asymmetrical, so it may not actually have that much effect on what actions the U.S. takes. But what about those, you know, people who are watching such videos who may be sympathetic to the Islamic State?
Well, you're absolutely right. The message, I think, is directed to multiple audiences, and this also shows how media has become such a sophisticated strategy of terrorist groups, unfortunately, in the 21st century. Certainly by choosing someone who is an English speaker, it's clear that the primary target audience was the United States and was to send this message that we're not going to be intimidated and rather we're going to attempt to intimidate you. But it's also meant to show to the U.S. and its constituents, look, we're not just a bunch of strangers in another part of the world who look differently, who speak a different language. We're actually people not so different from yourselves, who speak the same language, come from the same Western culture. These are the kinds of fighters we have in our ranks, and these are the kinds of people that can target you in other ways. Mm. I think implicit in that message is we have foreign fighters who can, from allied countries, who conceivably could travel to the United States. On the other hand, though, it was certainly meant to send a message that will likely be translated in other video clips to ISIS's constituents and supporters and especially financiers throughout the region, saying, look, we're confronted by the United States. We're not backing down. In fact, we're hitting back. We have tremendous resources, some resources that people may not be as overtly aware of, in other words, foreign fighters we can dispatch overseas. So it's designed to send a message of a group that may have suffered now a military setback in one battle or one skirmish, but is still in it for the long haul in this war.
Mm. Well, on that point of messaging, I wanted to play another quick piece of tape here. It's from Britain's Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond. He was speaking to the BBC about the fact that the man who executed James Foley had a British accent and the concern of the number of British citizens who have gone to places like Syria and Iraq and joined groups like ISIS and the potential blowback from that. So let's listen.
This is a poison, a cancer, what's going on in Iraq and Syria, and it risks spreading to other parts of the international community and affecting us all directly.
Bruce Hoffman, do you share that concern?
Yes, although in a way it's like starting to close the barn door after the horses have escaped. I mean, this is a problem that over the past 2 years has been growing, not just increasing, but increasing exponentially. And these are statements that United States government officials, particularly the FBI director, James Comey, has made, that the number of Americans has not just steadily increased, but has leaped. I think Britain is experiencing the same phenomena. And it's already generated widespread concern. But when you've got this kind of in-your-face message of someone being so brutally and heinously beheaded, and it's being done by a Westerner speaking with a British accent, it's even more in one's face. And I think the import of that, the message being sent that you will not be safe even in your own countries, that although there's a desert backdrop, we can reach into you, is indeed generating widespread alarm and I think heightened concern at the numbers that have gone and joined not just ISIS but many other terrorist organizations in the region.
Bruce Hoffman is director of the Center for Security Studies at Georgetown University. Thanks for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome.